Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick with you. Well, the removal of Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi and the start of an interim government could offer a new set of complications for the United States and its role in the Middle East. As a strategic partner in the Middle East, the United States will be watching to see how the interim government in Egypt and the future leadership there maintains its commitment to the 1979 Camp David Accords, opening passageways for U.S. Navy ships through the Suez Canal, access to oil. The list of potential complications is long. And at the same time, the U.S. pours $1.3 billion in military aid into Egypt every year. But federal law requires that non-humanitarian aid is cut off if, and I'm quoting here, the government of any country whose duly elected head of government is deposed by a military coup d'etat or decree, or after the date of enactment of this act, a coup d'etat or decree in which the military plays a decisive role, end quote. That's from the statute. The Obama administration has been careful not to call yesterday's event a military coup, and now you know why. But the White House did say that, the president did say, rather, that he is deeply concerned by the military's removal of Mohamed Morsi. Well, joining us now to help sort this out, David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for our partner in the New York Times. Hi, David.
Good to be with you, Todd. Happy 4th of July.
And to you, and welcome back. And I'm glad you're here because I want to start with the somewhat legally tortured language of the statute governing aid to Egypt that I just read there. Everyone else, including me, including everyone on radio and newspapers and television, is calling this what it is, a coup, but the White House isn't.
That's right, because if they have to cut off the roughly $1.3 billion in annual aid that goes to the military in Egypt has always regarded that as the payment for keeping the Camp David Accords alive. And while there's no place where you'll ever find that written, that is, in fact, the way they regard it when you go and you talk to them.
It's the buy-off.
So it is,
David,
it's difficult.
It's the buy-off, essentially, for keeping the peace with Israel.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So it's a very difficult situation for them in that they don't want to make any declaration, particularly in a case where you had what I guess you might call sort of a popular coup. I mean, it was remarkable yesterday when you saw the military leader there standing up next to Mohamed El-Baradei, the former head of the International Atomic Energy Agency and considered a liberal in Egyptian politics, and some of the Salafis, the very ultra-conservatives. So, you know, they've got a coup, but a popular one, and that's thus the reason they don't want to call it a coup.
Meanwhile, there are ultra-conservatives, David Sanger, who appear to be bought in to the concept of the interim government and the technocratic government. But we've seen quotes in your paper, we've heard them on the show, of members of the Muslim Brotherhood who feel disenfranchised by this whole process. They were democratically elected. Now they're out. And the United States has to be concerned that Islamists who have been convinced up until now to participate in a democratic process might conclude that only other means are really available to further their goals. I'm talking about potential violence.
It's a real worry, Todd. And I think that if you just sort of step back from this, what we have seen is what happens when you have the rise of an illiberal democracy. So they had elections. I was there during some of the parliamentary elections about a year and a half ago. They were run fairly. By and large, the Muslim Brotherhood was easily the best organized, and you saw the kind of results they had. But once in power, they did exactly what they said they wouldn't do, which is that they designed a constitution and other laws to cut out a lot of the other participants in the process. It was very little protection of others' rights. And in the end, that was their undoing.
During the interim phase then and the new constitution, eventually there will be new elections, or at least we can assume there will be. It would seem to me that the United States would place a very high priority on inclusion for the Muslim Brotherhood. They may not be in power from here on out, but it seems like it would be a mistake to marginalize them completely, given what we just talked about.
That's right. And if you looked at President Obama's statement yesterday, it was all about inclusion and it was all about process. It didn't mention any party. And so the U.S. puts itself in the position, as it did in the last election a year ago, of arguing for a fair democratically run election. Now, the downside of that is that once you've done that, if you don't like the result, if the Muslim Brotherhood wins, you've then got to go work with that government. And that's one of the reasons that you're seeing so much so many attacks in the Egyptian media aimed at the American ambassador in Egypt, because she has been meeting so regularly with the Muslim Brotherhood. Well, what she's supposed to do, they were the elected government, at least until yesterday.
Before we let you go, David Sanger, in the couple seconds we have left, one can't really talk about instability in the Middle East without talking about the Suez Canal, especially in Egypt. What are the conversations like between American diplomats, perhaps, and Egyptian leaders right now in making sure that waterway stays open despite instability? It's important.
You know, it is important, and the issue came up consistently a year or a year and a half ago, but there's been no real threat to the Suez, and one of the reasons is it's one of the few parts of the Egyptian economy that's still working, and so everyone from the military to the Muslim Brotherhood had an interest in keeping it flowing.
Everybody's bought into that, and oil pipelines as well, I assume?
Yeah, that was a little bit rougher in the pipelines that would in some of the places, but for most of the case, that has been the case. You know, the one thing you can say about the military, they control much of the economy, and as a result, they put a high premium on the economy working, and that's what has not been happening by and large in Egypt in the past year.
And the military also understands the $1.5 billion or so in aid that they are getting from us, which is how we started this conversation, exactly where it should have started and should have ended when it comes to U.S. interests there. David Sanger, Chief Washington Correspondent for our partner in the New York Times. Thanks, David.
Thank you, Todd.
Well, all this hour on this July 4th holiday, we're asking you, what does freedom mean to you?
Freedom is being able to make your own decisions without fear of being like impeded by the actions or choices of others. I think an aspect of freedom is being able to do what you want and allowing other people to do what they want, but not allowing too much conflict.
Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Be part of the conversation.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.